for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 28th, 2001. Final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. James Golden of Belize, Central America, is the speaker of the morning.
I think most of us know Brother Golden, but he's been a part of the campground here ever since it began, and it's just a blessing to have them to be able to come home once in a while and come visit us. They didn't come home this time really to come visit us, but they came home for a necessity of life, and we just thank the Lord that the Lord's given the opportunity to be here and that we can bless them and they can bless us. Brother James.
Well, praise the Lord. Am I on? Oh, yes. Can we say amen? Everybody feels mad. Can we say amen? Everybody feels glad. Oh, yes, praise God, hallelujah. Well, we save the ice cream to last, don't we? Cake and pie. Oh, glory to God. God knows how to fill our mouths with good things. And the rich, He sends empty away. And I tell you what, this has been one of the greatest camp meetings that I've been able to be in. One reason is that I've been... you might say not going to church very regular. Somebody says you are backslid or something. But I've been staying right beside of my invalid dad and lifting him off the bed when he needed to be lifted and caring for him and witnessing to lost relatives that came in and out and rejoicing with Christian people and... looking forward to this camp meeting. I didn't know it was, our situation was very unpredictable. My dear old dad on the 21st died very peacefully in his sleep and went home to be with the Lord. And it was a great funeral with a manifestation of the Spirit and the power of God. In the little chapel there in Rise in Arkansas, close to where I grew up, if you consider me to have grown up, I've been to that funeral home many times, and I've never seen that many people there before. So God moves in many ways, whether we're in church very regularly or whether we sometimes got other responsibilities out there. I tell you what, there's such a short time. God has done such great and wonderful, mighty things during the 2 years that we were outside the United States ministering. And sometimes it gives me butterflies in the belly to try to figure out where to begin and where to end and what to say and what not to say and what to relate and what not to relate. Let's turn in the Scriptures to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And let's read a few verses of Scripture beginning at verse 14. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'd like to speak, and for you that are listening to this tape, God bless you. I want to take you on a title. We usually give titles to these messages that are on tape. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, I see my wife cracking a smile back there, because back when she and I were sort of courting here in Hot Springs area where I met her, well, I was a young preacher then, and so the pastor, Brother Bob Boyles, was the pastor of the little chapel there, and so he, you know, opened his pulpit to this young fiery evangelist. But, you know, like in a setting like that, I was, you might say, just a little bit shook up and out of balance. And I guess maybe I had a reason to be. And so during the course of this message that I preached, I said, and we need to be grooted and rounded. And several times I said, finally I caught myself. And whenever I caught myself, then I tried to say it as plain as I knew how. I said, rooted and grounded. And after I, you know, made it very plain that I was really saying it right, that was funnier than it was whenever I didn't say it right. This morning, I was talking to a dear brother, and, you know, he never had met me before, so I introduced him, James Golden. And he was like, what kind of name is that? You know, sometimes you want to know if it's Irish or... Many people in the United States have many last names that are, you know, from a certain nationality. And I said, as far as I know, the people that have that last name, they are Jews. And from there, the conversation went to something else. And we got on the subject of your roots. In this day and time, there is more interest among people in tracing their natural roots, their ancestries, way back as far as they can. I have a nice, sweet sister who has a great, big, nice list. It's very interesting. And if you're not careful, you can take up lots of time in that. And if you're not careful, you can just look that over and say, I am somebody because of this and that and something else. Praise God, we're somebody through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're somebody because we've been born of the Spirit and we've been... regenerated and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things are become new. In this camp meeting we're hearing about that we don't need to think about going back to Pentecost, brother. Yes, praise God, we'll think about going on. And we need mega faith. Jesus made the expression, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And God is calling us to a position of, I heard it mentioned, mega faith. Did you ever hear of anybody taking a mega dose of vitamin C? Oh, yes, you get a bad cold and, oh, I read a nice article that was vitamin C and the common cold. I tell you, after that, I went down and I bought some vitamin C. And I've had bad colds, and I've taken mega doses of vitamin C. And I guess it did me some good. I'm here today, you know. And but all praise God for mega faith to move mountains. And we hear of all that happened under faithful men and women of God, their ministry. And so, you know, we say, I would like to see that happen again. And I've seen lots of things I'd like to see happen again. I am looking forward to see greater things happen than you and I have ever seen before. I'm looking forward to seeing it happen. And it's through God giving us faith. In the book of Jude, it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. A lot of us, we just say, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, we'll stop there. And then sometimes we'll say, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and we'll stop there. But I like to go that step further. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In order to try to get more faith, praise God, I've seen fit to dig in the Scriptures. Both my wife and I remember 1995, the first year when The Lord let us go beyond the Iron Curtain. Well, my wife had done lots of Bible reading, just get her Bible and read it, but she never had attempted to read from, one brother said, from generations to revolutions. But she undertook to start to read it through, and so she found out that it really didn't take as long as she thought it might. And anybody that never read the Bible through, all the way through, the first time is always the most difficult, anybody that's read it through several times. There's something about it after you did it one time. She said, well, you know, I want to read it through again. So she went the second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. And you know what? I asked her this morning, just a few days ago, she says she called off. I only like, maybe seven or eight, or I don't even remember the number. I asked her this morning, how much do you like now? She said, a chapter and a half. Reading the Bible through seven times. And I told her, well, why don't you go ahead and read it so you can get up and boast and brag about it. Of course, I was joking. Scripture says, confess your faults one to another. I don't even have to confess mine to you. You can see them already. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We got the Bible on cassette tape. I'm still, I'm not getting away from the theme. But we got the Bible on cassette tape, and I had the Bible on cassette tape for years. And we hear itinerating in the United States. A few times we come to the United States. Sometimes we stay as long as six months. Sometimes we have been known to go from border to border and coast to coast in just one trip to the United States. That's some long driving. You drive all the way from here to Belize. You don't get there in just one day. But we put that Bible on in cassette tape, and I don't know. I didn't try to count the times that we have listened to the Bible. I heard Merlin say, you know, I get more out of listening to it than I do reading it. Well, praise God, just listen to it then. Here recently, since things have got a little bit more modern and computerized, you just get one of those compact discs and put it in your disk drive and turn it on, and you've got Alexander Scorby reading the Bible, and you can dial it in to where you want him to read what it is you want him to read. If you decide you want to look up scriptures and look up through the Greek lexicon and the Hebrew lexicon and through some of Spurgeon's sermons and Matthew's commentary and lots of those things, all of that is right there in one. We're going to call it a mega disc. And you know, that's great that we have greater access to the Word of God. And since we have more access to being able to hear and read the Word of God and more study material, since faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, I'm telling you, we've got the opportunity to manifest that faith of God, mega faith, more than any other generation gone by. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And we need that mega faith, but more than that, we need mega love. I was seeing people in need on the mission field. There in the tropics, it never froze. Flies breed the year-round. Swarms of mosquitoes are there the year-round. There's not only mosquitoes, there's several other biting insects that are there all year long. In some places, more than there are at others. One of the things that we face constantly when we go from place to place is combating the mosquitoes, because there are different sicknesses and diseases, malaria being the major one. Another one is dengue fever, and another one is yellow fever. And constantly, all the time, there are people there with either malaria or dengue fever. The epidemics come and go, but there's usually some nearly all the time. There's some that is worse than others. So we keep plenty of insect repellent. When we go out into the villages to minister, our camper, we have screens on it. And when you have the doors closed, you can't get much wind in. I've rigged up 12-volt fans so that we could try to shield out the mosquitoes and try to keep cool also. And it can be pretty hot, and you can have a little 12-volt fan blowing right on your face. And there's something about when your face is cool, you forget that the rest of your body is hot, you know. And a lot of that has to do with combating mosquitoes and facing sickness and disease that is all around. The problem with human waste is pretty difficult, and dysentery is pretty bad. And there's been times that either me or my wife or one of our children were deathly sick with dysentery. I remember one particular time our son Samuel was only about 4 years old, and he was dehydrated and doing the best you can to keep water down him, and he would vomited with vomiting and diarrhea. I remember I was really praying and fasting and interceding to the Lord, and I remember what the Lord spoke to me, and I knew the answer was on its way. And so I got my camera. I told my wife, I want to take a picture of him. She said, please don't take a picture of him. So I had to explain to her what it was all about and what the Lord had spoken. And then she wasn't so reluctant for us to take a picture of him. He was still able to sit up on the bed, but just like a living skeleton there. But I took the picture and began to take God at His word. And when God began to do what He said He was going to do, He immediately began to receive water for the thing, for the first and the foremost. And in about a month's time, or maybe 2 months' time, He was well again and had gained most of his weight back and was able to run and play with the other children. And I took another picture of him. And we have in our collection one of the articles that I wrote, Samuel Then and Samuel Now. What does that have to do with being rooted and grounded in love? If you love lost humanity, if you love the unlovable like God loved when He sent His only begotten Son into the world, if you love sinners and hate sin like God loves sinners and hates sin, if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to fill us with compassion in this generation more than we have let generations go by, you see, in this generation there's more wickedness, more people bound by drugs and bound by demons and bound by alcohol and bound by false doctrine and bound by idolatry and bound by this and that and something else. But if we let God fill us with that compassion, you see, God says, if you love them enough to want to see them blessed and helped and delivered, I will see to it that you have enough faith to carry it out. But if it's you're motivated by something else besides love, you can't expect faith to prevail in the situation. You look out and see people like in some of these foreign countries steeped in idolatry. There's been places where, like for instance, God dealt with me to just walk through an area where they said no white person has ever been before, and preachers are scared to go there and preach. And I heard that. And I felt stirred deeply. Well, so I prayed about it. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And in the book of Revelation, it says, these are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. They love not their lives unto death. And I was thinking, am I willing to face death in order just to go through that territory? And I asked the Lord to lead me of whether to say anything or what to say. I had a guide to go with me that could speak both Spanish and the language. It was 36 miles I walked. I made the mistake of wearing some low-quarter rubber boots that lace up because it was on muddy roads. It was during the rainy season. We walked through several downpours of rain, got drenched with rain, walking in those muddy trails with my feet would bog down. I'd lift my feet out of the mud. And my heels, on both of my heels, they wore blisters the size of quarters, and then still had to keep walking. When I put my foot in the mud and pull it up, I can't keep my big toe from curling up. I guess you might call it a bad habit. Both of my big toenails, does that sound corny, turned blue. We arrived at a certain Indian village, and in those villages, I have been in those villages and go by the place where they were bathing and see men and women without any clothes at all, they're bathing. And I have heard from what people say that you just don't hardly hear of adultery among those people. That somebody gets out of line, that they'll deal very severely with him. I don't think it's nice that they, men and women, bathe without any clothes on like that. But then I think it's nice that they're, you might say, able to behave themselves. I have done such a thing as seen a man in front of a stone statue with a stone altar here, with a lot of coals on it, put a chicken with all of its feathers and everything on that, and watch the big smoke come up from all of that chicken, and see him stand there in front of that and say, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Ghost. You know, there's a lot of false religion in the world. There's a lot of people hiding behind the church. There's a lot of people that are not really motivated by the love of God in their heart, and they're motivated by so many other things. But praise God, He's a God that's dealing with you and me to look into these things. Before I left on that trip, I was thinking, now God, You love those people. Jesus, You love them. You're willing to give Your life for them. Am I willing to face death in order just to go through and to show all these? I talked to several preachers that said, oh, we just don't go back in there. But I was wondering if God wanted me to go. And as far as I know, God just wanted me just to walk through that territory. And we saw several of the people. One place, you know, they're back as far back as they can get. They have chicken. They have ducks. And I had read books about survival. And like one thing about survival, if you're way off out somewhere, you got to take care of your feet. And I had learned that if you can find a lot of small feathers and stuff in your shoes, well, that's going to help you either to keep them warm or to keep them cushioned. So I just went around picking up thin feathers, just laying around all around. And I know some of the Quechua Indian language. I'd studied quite a bit of it. And I understood. Somebody said, white man looks crazy. So, and that Saki Quink Mas Quash. Saki is white and Quink is man and Quash is crazy. And I gathered up lots of them, put them in my pocket, and a little piece of split log there I'd sat down on. I pulled my boots off, and they looked at my boots and said, ah. I stuffed those feathers, especially down in the toe of those boots. And I heard one of them say, Saki Quink Mas Nawal. And Nawal is wise. After that, there were different ones of the preachers heard that I had gone back there. The guy that went back in there, he was an Indian himself, but he knew Spanish. And so I could communicate with him. They began going back in there. They said, if that man is willing to go back in there, and risk his life going back in there just to make a trip through there and just to break the ice and just to go and blaze the trail as a forerunner that's willing just to demonstrate boldness and willingness to go, we better be willing to go. Well, now, what this incident of walking that 36 miles was over 15 years ago. Now there are Holy Ghost-filled people back in there and people that are filled with Holy Ghost that they learn to put clothes on, you know, and don't get out naked in the rivers in front of everybody and bathe. And you know, there's something about just having the love and the compassion of the Lord. Jesus was moved with compassion on the multitudes because he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. I can see where God used my childhood background as was really molding in me something to fill me with compassion for the very poor and the needy on the mission field. You see, I was born about 85 miles southeast of here in a little log cabin back in the woods where my daddy worked in the log woods. And my mother and daddy had 13 children. I am the fourth, three older than me. And it's not very easy to get enough food for 13 children. And we were, you might say, the poorest of poor. And a lot of times people would come by with clothes and said, could you use this? Or come by with something else and said, could you use that? And we would say, you bet. Well, we ate. Anybody here know what poke is? You know what poke is? Some people don't. Maybe after service you can ask around. We ate lots of the good stuff. Anybody here know what a possum is? We ate every possum we could get our hands on. We didn't know the law of Moses or that it was an unclean thing. That didn't bother us. We ate every coon. We ate every squirrel. We ate every rabbit. We ate every persimmon. We ate every huckleberry. We ate every blackberry that we could get our hands on. We cooked with a wood cook stove and heated with, we cut our firewood. During the summer months, we farmed and grew all the corn we could grow so we'd have enough cornbread in the wintertime. I have walked many miles behind a mule, barefooted, cultivating the crops back in some of those places that I went to visit just a few days ago. But I have been known to brood in self-pity because, you know, I just had it so unfortunate. When I was a young boy growing up with going to school with patched clothes on and old hand-me-down shoes, well, I had to be very shy because, you know, the girls didn't want to have anything to do with a poor boy. They wanted somebody that had a car, you know, somebody that they could go out and have lots of fun with. So I didn't have very many dates. I look back on it, and I am glad that I didn't. And I'm glad that I didn't get involved. I am glad that the Lord helped me to get involved with the sweetest woman in the world. Been so faithful to the work of the gospel for over 40 years that God has had us in missionary work. And but going back to the way God, I could see God molding in me what He wanted to mold in me. Well, you know, I considered myself to be unfortunate because we were so very, very poor. And even in spite of that, I was able to go finish high school, whereas my older brothers and sisters all dropped out because they felt like misfits. And we were scoffed at and scorned at because we were so poor. God just gave me enough, you might say, intestinal fortitude just to grit my teeth and take it and just go there, even though I considered myself a loner, graduate from high school. And they had some programs. It was during the time when probably some of you remember when Orville Faubus was the governor of Arkansas. He was a pretty famous governor. And he had a program for helping unfortunate. And my whole high school average wasn't above everybody else's. But my last year of high school, the 12th grade, well, my grades were higher than anybody else. And Uncle Sam gives scholarships, and the state gives scholarships, but there's several other foundations out there that give scholarships for people with outstanding accomplishments and from very poor families and all that. And I qualified, and the Lord made it possible for me to go to college for 2 years. I know some of you or hear me talk, you probably wonder how I made it through the first grade. But God dealt with my heart to leave a job that I had with the Arkansas State Board of Health and take off to the mission field. I was single at the particular time. I spent a few months on the mission field, and Later I came out, Merlene and I were married on February 24th in 1961. We went together and we've been in missionary work ever since then. But you see, when I arrived on the scene and I actually saw people that were much poorer than I had ever imagined, lived in mud huts that were poorer than the house that I was raised in. I wore hand-me-down shoes, and I saw lots of people that didn't have any shoes at all. At that time, I didn't know Spanish. Spanish was not one of the subjects that I had studied in college. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I felt a stirring that was from the Lord. I felt God stirring me with compassion for people that were actually poorer than I had ever imagined. I felt myself crying out to God for something to be able to help them. God began to speak to me, "Do you love these people enough to study and learn their language?" I didn't have much money. I'd quit my job. If I told you how little I got by on, you'd say, "He's surely gone to lying now." But I was able to get some records. They didn't have cassette tapes at the time. They had big reel-to-reel like some of these right there, and I couldn't carry one of them around with me. But I got records that had language, Spanish language courses on records. Told you how to hold your mouth right and say it right. And I bought books. But I went. I was single, so I could tell they could consider it a surprise when I didn't consider myself too good just to curl up in a corner of one of those little mud huts. One native Mexican preacher and I went way back up in the mountains of Chihuahua and slept in road ditches, waiting long hours for a bus, and just lay out in a road ditch and just sleep out there. And many times we slept on the floor when we went back in that area where he was raised. And I could tell they thought it was very strange that an American person would do that. All during that time, I was really digging. The Lord put it to me, "Do you love these people enough? Do you have enough compassion to them that you're willing to undergo excruciating long hours of study to learn their language to be able to reach them with the gospel?" That was a big question the Lord was putting before me. So I said, "Lord, with your help, I'm willing to be rooted and grounded in that kind of love." In the fifth chapter of Romans, it says, "The tribulation worketh patience, and this patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost." And so when you feel like you don't have enough love, you love yourself, and you love your tummy, and you love your little house, and you love your little car, and you love your little dog, and you love your little cat, and you love your little parakeet, and you love your children, and you love the people of your little church. But I tell you what, that love can go deep. They tell me that alfalfa roots that agricultural scientists have experimented with alfalfa, and some of those roots go down 12 feet deep. There's another that they call comfrey. And I've read about it when reading about, you know, nutrition and health food. And they say that comfrey roots goes down 12 feet deep. How deep are you willing to be rooted and grounded in the love of God? I believe, brothers and sisters, the more we have mega love toward the poor and the needy and the lost and the undone and the addicted and to those in prison, we won't have to worry about faith. Faith worketh by love. We got that mega love, it just kicks in gear. That faith is going to kick in gear to get the job done. I remember God was stirring me with compassion for some folks in prison in Belize. I went briefly on one occasion, just I didn't have much time. It was getting near, close to their closing time. I saw one particular. He was an American man, black man, gone down there and stolen something. Got into some trouble. And I talked briefly to him. And there, the prison, there's swamps all around the prison. There's swarms of mosquitoes there. And the prison doesn't have screens on their doors or windows. And the native people were more used to the mosquitoes, but I could see he was really suffering. That man was really suffering. I could have said, uh-huh, you've been a naughty boy, now you're getting what you deserve. But you think of a living human being. Me and him are of the same race, the human race. Although his skin was black, my skin was brown. I went home and I thought of that guy. And even now I think about it. I just wept and cried and prayed and interceded. I was able to go back there one time, and they sell a little coil thing. If you light it on one end, and it burns, smokes like a cigarette, and that's one of the main things they use to get rid of mosquitoes. And I was able to take him that, and I was going to take him some matches, and they says, oh, you can't bring matches in here. We got a way to light that. So I was able to give him those coils, and you should have seen how that guy reacted and just broke down and cried like a baby. I was thinking nobody even cared enough about me. And I was able to tell him, by faith, call him a brother. He said, you know, my grandfather was a preacher. I said, well, you repent of all your sins, turn it over to the Lord, and I believe you're going to do that, and so I'm going to just call you brother right now. So, but then, see the way he reacted, just because somebody thought enough of him, you know, to bring him that thing that will smoke and help get rid of those mosquitoes. It was another place where I was felt like I was geared up, you know, in the right frame of mind to go to those people. Some of them are in there for life, and I was able to, another time, take time and go to each cell. Well, I saw this one guy in a cell off all over there, kind of toward one end. And I thought, well, now, I've had pretty good success at being able to, you know, say the right thing, and I've practiced at it. Now I'll be able to go over there to him. So I walked up to his cell, and he says, let me tell you something, brother. I know you're wanting to encourage me, and that's great. And I know you're wanting to try to say everything you can. He said, but I want to tell you that the presence of God is so real. I have found Jesus here in this cell, and He's just so real to my soul. And I have such just wonderful times in the Word of God. And he began going on telling about how wonderful the Lord was to him. His name was Ellis Tybull. Whenever I heard that, I became flabbergasted. I thought, now here I thought I was going to be able to, you know, come up with the right speech, you know. I had practiced it long enough and thought about it long enough. And I was going to really be able to lay it over on him, you know, and do something maybe if he wasn't saved to turn him to the Lord, or if he had accepted the Lord to comfort him. I felt such strength and comfort from what that man had to say, because he was really been, you might say, alone with the Lord. You know what I did? I just felt I was melted in the love of God. I mean, just melted right there in the love of God. He was also a black man. I fell on my knees, started crying. I said, Ellis, I want you to pray for me. He laid his hands on my head, and both of us there crying. He was saying, Lord, this brother, I need him to pray for me, but Lord, he has said he wanted me to pray for him, and I'm telling you, he prayed some prayers there. It was prayers of faith. Since that time, you know, I haven't been the same old James Golden, you know. I mean, I have just felt the prayer prevailing. I have sought to know the Scriptures, both in English and in Spanish. A lot that I have memorized in English, while I also made an effort to memorize it in Spanish. You know, in the first Psalm, it speaks about a righteous person. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Go back to the beginning of that psalm. It tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. In Spanish that says, Bienaventurado el varón que no anduvo en consejo de malos, ni estuvo en camino de pecadores, ni en silla de escarnecedores se ha sentado. Sino que en la ley de Jehová está su delicia, y en su ley medita de día y de noche. Será como árbol plantado junto a corrientes de agua que da su fruto en su tiempo, su hoja no cae, y todo lo que hace prosperará. No así los malos, que son como el tamo que arrebata el viento. Por tanto, no se levantarán los malos en el juicio, ni pecadores en la congregación de los justos, porque Jehová conoce el camino de los justos, mas la senda de los malos perecerá. Anybody here understand Spanish? Oh, okay. You could hear my mistake. Wow, praise God. Okay. Thank you, thank you. She said it was wonderful. But you see, I tell you what. Pardon? Yeah, you won't hear it in Japanese? Yeah, the same I spoke in English, I spoke it in Spanish. If you want to hear it in Japanese, buy your plane ticket, go to Japan, look up Christian, and I'm sure you can find somebody over there that can say it in Japanese. I only know English and Spanish. Right after we first went to Belize, we preached in a little place. You know, Jesus told his disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And I think we, a lot of times, try to lead people too far, too fast. You know? The Apostle Paul says, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who by reason of use thereof have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it is necessary to dwell in the simplicity of the gospel. And I remember the crowd that was there in that little village called Teakettle. I just preach the simplicity of the gospel. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus sets free. So I didn't know who was paying attention or who wasn't. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard somebody outside of our little camping trailer calling my name. I didn't know if they were there to bless me or curse me. But I peeked out and I recognized it was a certain little Christian black man. And he had walked all that distance to where we were camped in a clearing along the side of the jungle. And a neighbor of his had begged him, please go get that preacher to come and pray for me. So the little man himself was kind of crippled, had to walk with a cane, but he had walked that, I don't remember how many miles. Afraid to say, I'd be exaggerating. My wife has already told me a billion times not to exaggerate. But he told me about this man that was very sick and in pain and hadn't slept in it for several days. We went to the side of this man, and he began telling his story. He said that he had gone to a witch doctor to try to get some help. And this has been quite a few years ago, because this was in the year 1967 when we first went there. He was having terrible pain in his back, and I guess what we would call it sciatic nerve and pinched nerves. And the witch doctor had told him, there is nothing that we can do for you. You're under a curse. You've been listening to those preachers, and you won't cooperate with us. He had told him that, I see, I can show where it all happened. There was a certain little creek, and there was an ant hill over here. And when you jumped over that little creek and landed over here, a spirit came out of that ant hill and got in you, and you're doomed. Well, other neighbors, you know, they hear that, and they don't want to do anything to get doomed, you know, so they got to line up. A lot of them, although they don't just directly practice witchcraft, they're so scared of what might happen to them if they don't line up or if they cross them anyway. Let me tell you, by the help of God and by the love of God, I am not afraid of anything they can do. If they can cast a spell, I'm under a greater spell. I'm under the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The brother that was with me and I, we talked to him about his soul salvation. And asked him, do you accept Jesus as your Savior? Are you willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you are, you can expect Him to help you. In deep agony, one of the deepest agonies I've ever seen on a human being, he says, I'm willing to do anything for the Lord. I'm willing to do anything if the Lord will deliver me. Did you know there's many people that are in that shape? You wouldn't have to go very far from here. Not very far from where you live and where you go to church. There's people like that getting in church and clapping your hands and singing and shouting and living a sanctified life and preaching the right doctrine. That's good to do, you know. But oh, I tell you, the real need that's there in the world. Let God prick at your heart this day concerning the need of suffering people that are all around you. When he got that assurance from the man, we rebuked that spirit, cast it out in the name of Jesus. I've seen all kind of reactions from people that were delivered. It's usually not in church somehow or other. They just maybe not that far along yet. It's usually one-on-one. They bring them to us or ask us to go here and go there. In this particular case, he just... Hadn't slept for 3 days and nights, but went to sleep and slept so peacefully and woke up without any pain. Before he got so sick, he had a good job doing something on the roads, driving heavy machinery. He went back to his job with the joy of the Lord in his heart, with victory over all of that pain, with confidence and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, power to keep him from the powers of witchcraft and the powers of demons. It hasn't been too many months ago, a native preacher that I know, I don't see him very often, Brother Ruperto. So we met him right down in front of the courthouse, and, how you doing, Brother Ruperto? He said, Brother, I want to tell you this. He said, every time I get down to pray, whether I got my eyes closed or open, I open my eyes and look over there and I see him. It's just a big, tall creature. I close my eyes and I still see him over there. And I just can't pray. Do you have any idea what that was? I don't understand all I know about it. I just know you love people and want to see them set free. You can cast out demons to try to prove the point. You can pound the pulpit and scream at people and strive with them that don't believe like you do. Honey, it don't come through strife. No. In the Apostle Paul telling the qualifications of the elders, those in the ministry, not a striker. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle. In the book of James, it tells us, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show forth out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if there be envying and strife among you, glory not, and lie not against the truth. For this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, full of mercy, and of good fruits. And the fruits of righteousness are sown in peace of them that make peace. Let's get back to Ruperto. We left him in front of the courthouse. Right then and there, my wife and I laid hands on him, rebuked that spirit. He wasn't demon-possessed. But I tell you what, he was under the effects of a demon. If you call it rebuking it, casting it out, or getting rid of it, or chasing it off, I don't care what you call it, just get rid of it. We saw him 2 days later. He had the joy of the Lord on his heart. Brother Ruperto has everything going. He said, since that day, I have been able to pray in the Spirit. I've been able to pray and intercede. Did you pray for me, Brother Ruperto? You better believe I prayed for you. We walked into a restaurant in daughter of the restaurant owner, I would guess 30 years old. I noticed she looked very poorly. And she come right over to us, "Please pray for me. I've been having panic attacks. They are awful." So I said, "What, right here in the restaurant? We can go back in another room." "Yeah, just right here. Don't make any difference. People do all sorts of other things, you know. Might as well pray in the restaurant." So we rebuke those panic attacks. And this was been a few months ago, and we've been in that restaurant a few other times. And she's got the joy of the Lord in her heart. And she said, "I haven't had any more of those panic attacks at all." And I tell you what, whenever you love those people, you see, it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. If we're going to go forward beyond Pentecost, take Pentecost and go forward, and if we're going to manifest mega faith like we've never been known to know before, we are going to need to let God cause us to be rooted and grounded and grooted and rounded in the love of God like never before. Never before. You see these fruit trees, you know all about them. First year they bear this, and their roots grow deeper, and then they'll bear bushel and a half, and then their roots grow deeper, and you get trees that are in fertile soil. Every little once in a while, you go into an orchard, and maybe you'll see a tree scattered down in a little bit of valley where the plant food's been able to wash down there just a little bit more, and it's taller than the rest of them, and I'm telling you, it's got greener leaves, and it's got more fruit than any of the rest of them. Is that the kind of tree you want to be for the Lord? I hear lots of strife over different doctrines. I've done a lot of it myself. I'm asking the Lord to deliver me from striving over my doctrines and striving with people that don't believe like I do. And I'm asking the Lord for delivering me from the urge to win arguments, you know. I just love to win arguments. Especially if it comes to a scripture. If I catch somebody saying something and it says this in the Bible and it didn't, boy, I just get it out and all this doesn't set that way. Now look at there. Oh, boy, that flesh is just glorious. Whenever we can strive with people that don't believe in deliverance just like I do. And you know there's evil people that get out here and deal with dope and that gamble and shoot dice and commit adultery. And they're racketeers and work for the mafia, and they steal, and they're lying, and they cheat, and they work witchcraft. And a lot of evildoers that are out there. And I think some of the worst evil there is people in the church. We need to ask the Lord to shorten our tongue and help us not to exaggerate too much. I heard one preacher said that he had one sister in his church that he went to see her one time. He knew she had a long tongue. And while she was sitting in the sofa in the living room, she was licking gravy out of the skillet on the back burner of the stove in the kitchen. Her tongue was flowing. That's kind of exaggerating a little bit too much. Exaggerating a little bit too much. But laying all seriousness aside, the love of God can motivate our speech like it has never been before. Like it has never been motivated before. Let me see if I can quote a little scripture. Is that all right? Coming to my mind. I believe it's somewhere around Psalm 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. It shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as live in upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume. In the smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil. Do good. Dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth righteousness and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom. His tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord. Keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away and he was not. Lo, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man. Behold the upright. All praise God. Hallelujah. That's far enough, I guess. Is that far enough? The preaching of the Word of God. He is wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. He is Counselor. He's everlasting. He is fatherly. He's a Prince of Peace. And He is the mighty God. His Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It pierces. It's sharp. It cuts. It can cut the wool off of a sheep. It can cut the skin off of a goat. It can cut the head off of a hypocrite. Put him out of business. But oh, I tell you what, God is love. Can you say God is love? Can you say I am love? I am love in ever increasing proportions. Oh yes, praise God. I believe we're going from this camp meeting greater lovers. Some of you older guys, I think I saw you wilt just a little bit when I said that. Maybe not as much in the natural, but well, maybe that too, you know. But more so in the spiritual. Are there any of you ladies that could stand to be greater lovers? Maybe I'm getting out of line when I say as much in the natural as in the spiritual. People are hungry. They're hungry for love. Jesus told Peter, you love me? How are you going? Yeah, yeah, Lord. Yeah, I love you. Yeah, I love you. And he got really on his case. And what it was going to take to solve that case was to feed my sheep and feed my lambs. There are a lot of many wonderful doctrines in the Scripture. I've heard many myself. But whenever they're preached with love,
We've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. They're there to teach, edify, to build up, so that we won't be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
But the bottom line,
speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things who is the head.
I know one dear brother in South Mexico was born in Egypt. God sent him down there to missionary work, and he's come and visited us, and we've had some good fellowship together, and the name of his little incorporation is Truth in Love. And that's sort of his theme of speaking the truth in love.
May grow up in him
in all things. How many times in the past year have you really felt free to go to someone who is suffering or someone who is addicted? Someone who is really in bondage and suffering from something. And trust God to give you something to minister to that person. How many times are you willing, after you go forth from this camp meeting, how many times are you going to be willing to do that? Going to reach out to the lost. Most of you probably go to some church somewhere. I hope so. You know, they'd come here from another town, and I hope that right there in the midst of your church you can show love to your brother in there, and you can maybe engage in some kind of teamwork or something. You talk about missionary work and you think of something way off out there on the backside of the jungles of Belize. I tell you, one of the greatest missionary work I have ever seen is right here in Hot Springs, Arkansas, at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. And some of the greatest missionaries I ever met in my life were Glenn Miller and Irma Miller, that stand up and blaze the gospel trail here on this mission field of Hot Springs, Arkansas, and all around here. I think of many people, suffering people. You know, I've thank God that I'm free from depression. Anybody in here ever hear of depression? You know what it feels like? I've heard that any person from time to time will suffer varying degrees of depression. It's a common thing among mankind. But with some people, it can be chronic. And it can be worse than a toothache. It can be worse than a stomachache. It can be worse than a headache. It's a spirit ache. It's a soul ache. And you just aching deep down inside of you, and you just so crushed, and you just feel so worthless and so helpless. They tell me, in some of the things that I've read, antidepressants, among all the medicine that is sold to mankind today, antidepressants ranks way up there high among the medicine that is sold. And nerve medicine, to calm people's nerve, it's way up there. I think it sells more than penicillin or just medicine just for common headache. You know, if my back's aching from that I lifted something too much and worked too hard, and my head's aching for some reason or other, I've got a bad cold, I'm not too religious and dogmatic that I can't take a couple of Tylenol, you know? And, of course, it's been a long time, thank God. It's been a long time since I felt any need of doing that. Praise God, I don't feel like taking any antidepressants at all. I don't feel like I need to take any medicine for my nerves. I don't need anything to help me sleep at night. If there's anything, I might feel like I need to drink 2 or 3 cups of coffee every once in a while to help me stay alert and keep from sleeping too much, slumbering and sleeping too much. But then there are other people that I meet, that I see, that are really hurting. And you can see their heart and you can understand their heart. Jesus Christ is our perfect high priest. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In 2 Peter, it tells us, it speaks about being partakers of the divine nature. We're not just onlookers, but it is put within us, like I quoted earlier in the 5th chapter of Romans. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, I just love me. I just love to put on a clean white shirt and a bow tie or a longer tie and a tie tack. I got 2 or 3 different tie tacks. I love to get out the old shoe shine box. I built one special for myself and shine those shoes. And I don't mind wearing old dirty boots and walking around in the mud. I get under automobiles and just get so greasy. You'd see me like that sometimes. You'd wonder if you was looking at the same person. I got some old coveralls I've got out and painted. I've worked on church buildings. I've got pick and shovel. I've got out and done that. And I tell you what, I love to find for myself, you know, the things that I like to eat real good. And I like to find, you know, some good turnip greens and put them on in a pot and boil them, and some good Great Northern beans and flavor them up just right. And just take good care of me, you know. And I like to make sure I've got a good place to lie down. And got a good automobile to drive, and my automobile is all right. And I like to make sure that the lights is functioning and all that. And in the midst of taking care of all of that for me, in myself, well, I see my own selfishness. And the time that I spend, because I just love me. I heard a little poem one time, me love meself, me love me so. Me take meself to the picture show. Me wrap me hands around me waist. If me get fresh, me slap me face. Jesus, the Ten Commandments didn't say, thou shalt not love thyself. Did it say that? It didn't say that. Anybody ever read that in Scripture? No man hateth his own flesh, but he nourisheth it and cherisheth it. I'm not suggesting to anybody here that you neglect your own body. Take good care of it. It's the only body you got. Till you get a glorified body. But oh, love thy neighbor as thyself. I believe we're going to see more people delivered. I believe I'm going to see more people delivered more than ever before. Not because I like to show the skeptics that God does deliver. Now, oh, when you got onlookers. For instance, we was in an open-air service, and one young man began manifesting demons. Bothered. Shut up! Be quiet! I can't stand that! I can't stand that! Stop preaching that! I can't stand that! Just screaming out in the service. And we took him aside, ministered deliverance. And he happened to be a member of a church, and because we ministered deliverance to one of their church members, the officials, they didn't like it all that well. I don't need to get into all those details. But the young brother that was delivered, he would give his testimony. And he'd say things. You don't understand the horror, he'd say. You don't understand the torment that my mind was going through with, and I didn't know what to do. And I was doing what I could to serve the Lord. But since these brothers prayed for me, all of that went away. And I'm free, brother. You don't know what it means just to be free and to feel relieved of all of that stuff. Oh, God, help us to bring freedom and deliverance and relief to the thousands and the multitude. Arguing over doctrine is not going to do it. Amen. Getting angry with people that don't believe it like we do, and pounding the pulpit and getting red in the face and red in the ears, you know, at people, and all the time talking about them and running them down because they're not what they ought to be. Praise God, hallelujah, we can speak the truth in love. Daniel, there was King Nebuchadnezzar. Anybody say Nebuchadnezzar? Can you say Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, some can. He saw that Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. One place it said the spirit of the gods is in him. They knew there was a difference about that guy. Psalmist David, whenever he had repented, when was repenting, he said, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. You ever have a bad spirit? I have. Get in the flesh. You ever get in the flesh? Whenever you're supposed to be teaching the things of God and dealing with people that was arguing with you and contradicting with you, and maybe that strife rises up there, and you rise up right there with them, you know. Same old flesh that's there, you know, flesh and blood. Wrestling against flesh and blood. Praise God, these principalities in the air. They don't want people delivered. They don't want them set free. They want to hold them in bondage. They put every obstacle in your way and every obstacle in my way. When we first went to the mission field, there was the obstacle of the language barrier. And there was an obstacle. My wife and I did not have any salary at all from any kind of denomination. Nobody at all promising to send us any support whatever. We didn't have any pledges. I'm going to send you this. God said go, and we went. In case you're wondering, I want to explain to you. And you won't have to wonder any longer. And what I want to explain to you is we haven't starved to death. Now, aren't you relieved to know that? We haven't starved to death, not even once. Now, I've heard of people starving to death. And if it comes down to it, I'll just starve to death. And if I do, it will just be once. You know, just once. And let me add to that. I plan to go home to be with the Lord once. I don't plan to make several trips to have a glorified body and then get unglorified back in the flesh and then glorified again back with Jesus and then unglorified. I feel like He's going to give me a glorified body one of these days pretty soon. And this is going to be a one-time affair. And if these old bones get laid in a grave somewhere, well, it won't still be any difference. It'll just be once, you know. Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to being with Jesus forever and ever. But between then and now, I'm looking forward to serving Him. I'm looking forward to getting more grooted and rounded in love. God tugged at our hearts to go. Sometimes I have to be careful talking about this because you have to go through the back door sometimes to do some of these things. But God opens doors. He is the one that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. He didn't say, I open the front door only and no man can shut the front door, but He can shut the back door. God knows how to open the back door. He gets you in the back door. But God had us to go to this certain country and we saw the poverty. We visited different native preachers. We saw how skinny their little children were. We heard them tell about, show us a bar of soap. And they said, we're only allowed to buy one bar of soap a month. Another brother said, well, how do you manage to bathe? I heard one say, well, we've got plenty of water, thank the Lord. And if you use enough water without any soap, you can get clean. And you know, my thoughts are not always like they ought to be. I have to get victory over my thoughts. In my thoughts, I said, yeah, but some of you here haven't been using enough water, you know. What I was thinking. But in spite of my foolish thoughts, we felt moved with compassion on them. Next trip we went there, a few months later, we took all the soap that we could carry in our suitcases, and they let us go right through. They didn't even look in our suitcases. We turned it over to the main ones, leaders of the church, that could distribute it out to the church. After that, they began telling us how hard it was for them to get just plain old aspirin and plain old Tylenol. We talked to two women that were really handmaidens of God, were medical doctors, and each woman pastored a church in a different village. They told us the pitiful situation. The next time we went, several months later, we went back. And at that time, it wasn't soap. If we would have known, we wouldn't have bothered to take the soap. So other things were more needed. Sometimes whenever you get to try to minister to people to their needs, it takes a little while and the Lord can let you just see the very key, this the very thing that they really need. Well, but we took medicine. We gathered up great big boxes of Tylenol. And they x-rayed our suitcases whenever we went through. We didn't know whether they was going to bless us or curse us or put us in jail. And there was something folded up, wrapped in some kind of foil or something in the very center of the suitcase. One little lady said, we want to look in that suitcase. Opened up that suitcase, and it was Pepto-Bismol. You ever hear of Pepto-Bismol? And she looked there and said, okay, that's okay. They couldn't tell on x-ray, you know, what was in there. They couldn't tell whether it was something that nobody ought to take in there at all. And then they let us go. On the last go-around, I saw their need for food. One brother that went with Merlene and me to the place wanted to give different ones on two different occasions. He wanted to ask the leaders of the church, is it all right if I give each one of your pastors a $100 bill? And of course it was okay, and he did. On that particular occasion, we didn't have, all that much to spare. My wife, God touched her with compassion for the pastor's wives because they really suffer. They're without lots of things that you and I take for granted. And us men, we don't think of women's personal needs all that much. They don't have to handle that all that by themselves. But a little woman seeing other women touched with compassion, she says, I feel God dealing on my heart to go and give these pastor's wife $100 apiece. So I said, well, praise God, go right ahead. And she did. When we were getting ready to go to the airport, we had to kind of hurry to get to the airport, but we saw that the plane was a little bit delayed, and so we had to wait a little longer. And if the plane would have gone out, we would have missed out on, something nice. Because one of those pastor's wives had managed, I don't know who she had to pay to get to the airport to see us off, because she wanted to get to the airport and see Merlene and hug her and weep on her shoulder and tell her, Sister, I want to tell you, my little children have been doing without this and that. You've told me to do whatever I wanted to do with that. You have put food on our table for many days, food on our table. And then on the last, I saw their need for food. The main food they would eat if they owned all the food in the world was just plain old rice and beans. And it's usually rice and beans cooked together. On the last trip we were there, the leaders of the church were together. And so I asked them, if I give you enough money to buy 2 tons of food, will you agree to buy just food, rice, and beans with this money and distribute it out as it is needed over a period of time? Some people, go into countries where there's very hungry people and they'll make a great big feast, and that's all great and wonderful. I expect to be doing that more myself. But I couldn't go down to where they buy. You see, under their ration system, they can take a ration stamp and they got a very limited amount. They need American dollars so bad to buy stuff on the international market that they really need, that they're willing to kind of bend here and there. And if you show up with American dollars, you don't have to have the ration stamp. Gasoline is rationed. What few of them do have automobiles with their ration system and their Cuban money, they're only able to buy so much. But if they show up with American dollars, they can buy all the gasoline they need. But they assured me that they were going to spend that for nothing but food. Well, I went away from there thinking, God, that this poor boy that was raised way back in the sticks of southern Arkansas, undernourished himself and eating every possum he could get his hands on, and wild grapes and persimmons and poke and all the fish he could catch out of the little creeks and rivers, thinking that I'd never, brooding in depression and self-pity, feeling sorry for myself because I was in such a bad shape. But the Lord knows how to raise up the beggar from the dunghill and the poor and the needy and set them among kings and crown them with glory. Brothers and sisters, God wants to use you. I could try to tell you all kinds of beautiful stories and paint them as pretty as I possibly can. I hope the Word of God penetrates your heart today more than ever before. If you're somewhat uncompassionate toward all those people that are against you and all those people that got themselves into all kinds of trouble, I think maybe God wants to shock some of us just a little bit and shake us up. Ezekiel said he saw all those dry bones out there. He saw skull bones. He saw cervical vertebrae. He saw thoracic vertebrae. He saw rib bones. He saw lumbar vertebrae. He saw pelvises. He saw femur joints. He saw ulna joints and bones and radius bones and phalanges and metatarsal and metacarpal bones and all those bones out there. He said, can these bones live? The Lord told, Ezekiel told him, Lord, thou knowest. He didn't say yea or nay. He didn't want to get out on a limb either way. The Lord said, prophesy unto these bones. And Ezekiel began to prophesy, and he said there was a great shaking in the land, a great stirring. Are you willing for God to give you a great shaking and a great stirring? We used to sing a song years ago, come on over, baby, there's a whole lot of shaking going on. You ever hear that?
Yeah.
Shake, baby, shake. Shake, baby, shake. Come on over, baby. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Well, that had a lot of appeal in the natural. That was a very popular flesh. Oh, it could really get the flesh to going. If a song like that can go across the nation and be popular and turn people on in the flesh. Let me tell you, the pure word of God coming to you and me and the counsel of God coming to you and me in this day and this generation that we're living in, there can be Holy Ghost shaking going on. Come on over, brother. God really is shaking things up. That's the way I changed that song. Come on over, brother. There's a lot of demons being cast out. I said, come on over, brother. God's got a lot of shaking going on. Come on over, brother. There's a lot of shaking going on. Come on over, brother. There's a lot of demons cast out. Cast demons out. I said, come on over, brother. There's a whole lot of praying going on. Well, you know now I'm not a singer either. What time are we supposed to? Oh, isn't God wonderful? One brother says that brother likes to ramble all the way from Dan to Beersheba and tarry from the rising of the sun till the going down of the same. Oh, I tell you what. I remember God stirring our hearts to go to. We could drive to a certain river and pull it. We had a little Airstream trailer, although it was a 1948 model. We put it up higher up on its axles, and with a four-wheel drive, we could get in there. I felt God stirring me with compassion for people along those villages. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it. I would just lay and weep. And there's something about the call of God. If it's just to go to one individual or to go to several individuals way back in those villages, the call of God is just something about it that God just burns it in there. You just can't rest until you get up and go there. Brothers and sisters, God is calling. God is calling right now. You hear it, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. You hear it in these services. I fixed everything up, me and my family got up and took off down to that place beside that river where I'd be going up and down the river in boats. My little boy was out playing with other little boys. He fell, broke his finger. The finger was bent way back over here, flopped across this finger. And whenever I saw that, my faith got into a fight with my unbelief and my fear. My fear and my faith and my unbelief, all three got in a fight with one another. Seemed like my little son, for a while, he had more faith than I did. So I says, well, we're going to have to lay the church services aside for a while. We're going to have to drive way back into this place where there was a town. We can get a doctor and put a splint on that. You know what made my heart melt down to its least common denominator? My little son said, Daddy, let's pray first. Right. I felt ashamed of myself. And I thought, well, now, am I willing to trust God so that I can go preach? He's called me to preach and minister to these people, and this is a hindrance. This is an obstacle. We went in at twin beds here and then little places where the two little children slept. And my son put his hand right down on the floor, and that we was kind of between those twin beds. And I wasn't looking, but I was looking at Jesus with my eyes closed. And my daughter screamed. She said, that's the greatest miracle I have ever seen. I saw that finger just jump back. Nobody touched it. I just watched that finger just pop back like that. And my son was afraid of doctors, of course, like most boys are. He said, I don't have to go to the doctor now. I can go back out and play some more now, can't I? I told him, I said, in a little while, son, let's just wait here before the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. And I spent a good time there just worshiping the Lord and repenting for my, my doubts and my fears and trusting God. And it's times like these, in real times of God's dealings, of the dealings of God's Spirit on our life. It's times like these during these camp meetings when we ourselves, things that we don't even see and understand, but we know that something needs to be corrected in our life. But oh, God just shines His light upon us, and we find these real close, intense dealings of the Lord upon our lives. And then we go from these places with these camp meetings with more understanding.
Praise God. Thank you, Father in heaven, for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you for the food that has been prepared, Lord. Thank you for these few that are Gideon's army right here today, Lord. Thank you for these special upper room ones that have been willing to stay here for the last day of the camp meeting. Bless the others that couldn't stay, Lord. You know their reason why they couldn't stay. And we ask your blessing upon them, Lord. And right now, Lord, while we're in these
very close time to the moving and the dealing of your Spirit. We trust you to bless this camp meeting and everyone that labors so faithfully here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the love you've already given. They wouldn't have made it this far if it wasn't for that love that has kept us reaching out to the needy. And bless them and help them, Lord. Let that love keep growing and multiplying in ever-increasing proportion. Lord, we've prayed for deliverance from this and that and from something else, Lord. And Lord, I pray deliverance throughout this day from people that from the lack of love, Lord. Deliverance just from plain old selfishness. Deliverance from every obstacle that keeps love from flowing like it never has. For Lord, you know why we haven't loved people anymore than we have. You know why. And right now we commit it all to you, Lord. I, as your servant, commit each individual that is here under the sound of my voice to you. And I proclaim deliverance. And Lord, put your finger, Lord, on everything that keeps that love from flowing, that keeps those roots from growing any deeper, Lord. You see the obstacle that keeps those roots from growing any deeper. And Lord, I just pray that you put your finger on whatever be the obstacle and you remove it every bit, Lord, so that it is going to happen because we accept it from you as being so. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.